This is our third try to say good morning, good afternoon. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess with the Higher Dimensions. We seem to have some gremlins playing with our electronics today, and we're not quite sure why that is. But who's ever handling it, stop having fun at my expense and work on somebody else's show. I have a delightful guest I've had before on my show. Today it is Miss Annette Castellano. Sorry, I'm having a hard time. I also have a bit of a cold working here, so if I sound funny at times or cough, please forgive me. I don't mean to be rude, but welcome to the show again, my dear.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I was looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it.
Well, yeah. I'm so glad. I understand you're getting other gigs on the radio and that you are writing a book, which you don't want to talk too much about. But Annette is a gifted psychic. She's gone through a lot of changes and a lot of hard stuff. I know that from her last time, she talked about herself and what she went through and the spiritual awakening she's had, and it's been a painful affair, as it sometimes is. Sometimes it's fairly easy, but sometimes it's more like God took a 2x4 and applied it methodically to one's head until one finally got it. And, you know, I always keep saying, you know, you don't have to hit so hard, good Lord, you know. A couple of taps, you do it. And they said, well, I did, but you didn't listen anyway. So she has been through a great deal of illness and has come out on top. And as a result, she has gone into an introspection. And her spiritual life has come blossoming to the fore. Is it accurate to say that's about right?
That is so right on.
Okay.
It really is. And from the experiences, I'm seeing that through trauma, it
yes.
really gives one the ability to get deeper into the spiritualness of our reasons for living life.
Well, that's very true, too. I have to mention something that, and this is why psychologists are torn about this kind of thing, is that children or people who have undergone trauma in childhood, like sexual abuse or something like that, have a tendency to become psychic later on, and the psychologists want to say that it is simply the brain's mechanism, and people are fooling themselves. It's an anomaly. And I would say it's because of the traumatic situation and trying to lift oneself above it, out of it, that it gives the ability to open oneself up to another world. I think it's the intent of the person to escape from where they are, yes, but it's not just physiological, it's spiritual-emotional. And again, we find a lot of people who've been traumatized or have suffered from physical illnesses going into the healthcare field. They're drawn to it to help others. And it's very interesting. These studies have been going on for 40, 50 years. And I have found that that's very true in many instances, that traumatic experiences will open you up, even as a child, to these higher gifts. And it's because of the intent of the person, and usually a child is pretty pure about it, you see. And that is why it's that way. And even as adults, we're allowed to go so far off track and then no further, my feeling is. And then, you know, our soul or our guides or whatever in our inner breaks applies the firm break rule and says, no, you can't get any further off the track you've already gotten. You got to come back, remember what your true purpose is to fulfill your time in this life. And that's at least my theory.
I agree with you to a large extent, but I also have seen the flip side where a lot of people get so caught up in the trauma that they ignore the other signs.
Yes. Well,
and they feel themselves to be victims and they slump backwards.
Yeah, that's PTSD. That's where you get so caught up in it you can't move forward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. But very often, it's the opposite comes true as well.
Yeah.
So it depends on how the soul accepts what's happened. What you do with what you get is another
That's
way of
right.
putting it, you know. You can, if you want to see yourself as a victim, of course you'll be a victim, you know. But if you want to see yourself as someone who is going to get up and move on and is going to continue with their life, then you will not be a victim. You will definitely be someone who moves forward in life and has a very, very important place in life. And I can't emphasize enough the fact that we all have something important to do in this life. Just like that, It's a Wonderful Life, that movie, where Jimmy Stewart played over, if he hadn't saved his brother, what would have happened in the town? We all have that important a place in our life. And if we were not where we were at the time doing the things we were doing, and sometimes they're very, very little things, very little things in our estimation, then the course of human history would be changed. And I think Shakespeare said it well when he wrote in Richard III, for want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, the king was lost. For want of the king, the battle was lost. And so the whole empire all came down to for want of a nail in the horseshoes. And that's a very interesting observation. I think I mangled the quote there somehow on the, towards the end. But it's the thought that counts, doesn't it? I've known Shakespeare a long time.
You got the point across.
I got it across. However pointed it may have been, I got it across. I usually do better in my quotes. Forgive me, it's the head stuffed up. I can't think clearly when I have a head full of stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, have you gotten any kind of insights of what's going to be happening in the new year with the financial issues or world peace or anything like that? Have you picked up anything? Have you tried?
I haven't. I haven't really put much focus other than as I'm looking at some news lines or reading things on Yahoo. I get the hits that there's no doubt in my mind that Obama is going to make incredible changes.
Right,
and I see. I really see that he's going to come up with the help of his cabinet formulas
right.
that are very realistic
mm-hmm.
and very doable.
Right.
And I see him helping to pull the economy up.
Okay, I do too.
Out of this, yeah.
Okay. What about overseas with a lot of this stuff that poor, poor people are suffering in so many countries? I mean, the killing, it looks like the increased anger, the increased senseless slaughter in the world.
You know, when I look at that kind of stuff, it's like just a black cloud comes up. It's like just mindless ego just killing each other. And I'm not sure about that. I've got to be honest, because it's so intense and so global that, I'm really not sure. I do see eventual peace, but not right now.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Do you see it within the next year, 12 months?
Mm.
Or think it'll be longer?
I think it's going to be longer. I think maybe the major part of it by law, let's say the U.S. pulls out somewhat or what have you, but I think there'll be a lot of civil unrest.
Yeah, that's what
I feel. And I see that
worse,
going on.
By the way.
Yeah, I see that going on for a number of more years.
Okay. How about by the time you hit 2012, that we're heading for?
You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, that's the end of the world," and blah blah. But I don't think so. It doesn't feel that way to me. What I get is that with people becoming so much aware, so much more aware, and stepping more into their spiritual power, if you will,
right.
that I believe that by that year there will be more accountability and peace, and there'll be a lot more evolved
mm-hmm.
beings. You know, like there'll be a lot more of the Dalai Lamas, not just one person, not just one or two people,
right.
but groups of people.
Right.
And I'm seeing the level of awareness raising the vibration, if you will, of the planet that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm seeing. It's a transition
right.
of consciousness. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah, I was reading a book by Dolores Cannon and her Convoluted Universe 2. And again, that's a great book to read. If you haven't read any of her books, but I don't know how I haven't read that one, do read it. And there's a drawing in there showing where the Earth itself will separate. There will be one Earth which goes on to a higher level of existence, leaving the three-dimensional world here. And that's what's meant by leaving those behind.
Mm-hmm.
That the Earth itself will move into a different dimension, leaving behind those who are insisting on fighting and killing, leaving them to find out another way out of their mess and mess that they leave. But there are many here who are helping us, and I still feel that there is a great mass of people, beings, who are coming in to help us at this point and to help those who are ready to move forward into a peace, more peaceful environment, and where it'll work. It'll work, and I found it very interesting to see the separation of the two worlds, because I can sometimes see, for example, I was working with one little baby a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden I saw not his body, which is suffering from birth defects, but superimposed on it, or behind it, or around it, if however you want to define it, I saw his perfect physical body. So I saw the baby with his physical challenges and anomalies, as well as his DNA, which would have a perfect body as part of, incorporated into it. And I was seeing both at the same time. And that's how it kind of made sense to me, that I could see both at the same time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sort of on that note, I have, through my, when I had a near-death experience back in the early 70s, mm-hmm. I found myself very focused on that intuition part, you know,
right.
really developing it. However, there was the other part of me, the human part, that
right.
had the bad psychology, so
uh-huh.
to speak, and I had to work through all that. And after I had the stroke episode a couple of years ago, I really started a journey of incorporating both worlds and really paying
right.
attention. And what I've come up with is that the experiences, the traumatic experience that people go through is an opportunity for spirit to expand itself.
Right, right.
All right? And yeah. in that expansion, they are able then to give birth to other dimensions of themselves, so to speak.
Right.
And so what I'm thinking, it's still a little
vague,
unclear, but I get the idea, especially with the baby boomers. I was reading something on Yahoo about a while ago about the baby. There was consensus taken and showing that most of the baby boomers are on antidepressants.
Really?
And yes, and that they're suffering from a lot of emotional disorder and what have you.
Hmm.
And actually, that was a time when there was the most influx of births.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that.
Now, what time period is this?
What?
What time period are we talking about, sweetie?
The baby boomers 60? Were from 1950 through, I think, 60,
okay.
62, something like that.
Okay,
and
then the Generation X after that. Okay.
Yes,
got it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And I get the idea that the influx of children, of spirit that was born, came here to expand their awareness and
right.
to understand. And a lot of them, because they couldn't cope, wound up falling into these type of challenges.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm seeing is that there is an opportunity now with so many other intuitives and,
yes.
and teachers coming to the surface, that will help a really global cleansing
yeah.
to people that are much more open to wanting to stand up and make a change, that they would, you know, to get to the point like, I've had enough of this crap, you know, and I'm moving forward.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they had another study done today that I read about the Generation Xers being less intelligent, less willing to study, to learn, that even the scores drop for those born in the 60s to early 70s, and then it moves back up again. And those are the ones who didn't want to finish school, who took it easy, who didn't know anything about the Depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and were less likely to go to college, which I thought very interesting.
Very.
You know, and they said they feel that it was just, they don't know why it is so. It's just that when going back and comparing the aims and so forth of the parents and the desires and getting colleges, because the baby boomers were fixed on getting a college education, by gum, you know, at least the ones that were war babies, like you and I.
Yeah.
From World War II, we were told, you know, you're going to get a college education. There was no ifs, ands, buts, or anything else. We may delay it, but by God, we were going to get it from hell or high water. And, and moved ahead. And I think also the movement of the hippies and the peace movement were, in my opinion, the birth of those who had died in World War II. And they came back because of the Vietnam, and they did not want to fight again, and hence, we had the peace movement because we had people who'd recently been in war.
Right.
And they didn't want to come back. And that makes sense to me.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
And so we did have the Flower Child movement. And now it's gone on to another level of people coming in to create just a higher and better and more loving world for all of us. Well, that's fascinating. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in for a reading. The BBS radio station is 1-877-876-5227. Or you can do the 530-876-32222. So if you want to call in and get a reading, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we're just going to explore stuff and have fun and be happy. I can sit here and talk with Annette all day, folks. You know, whatever.
And sometimes we've done that.
Yeah. Buy stock in AT&T, folks. It's worth it.
Oh, God, I love it.
You really want to get now. Anyway, yeah, it's a wonderful situation that we're having in this world, and I think things are going to get better. I cannot believe they say the recession started last year. And I'm thinking, what part of this didn't they know?
I know it.
You know it. We all know it.
Yeah.
And then they go around saying, well, it really started last December. Duh. You know? it's the politicians and all the fancy schmancy people with the degrees finally get it, that the people know about it before they know it or declare to move on it. But it's obvious as the nose on their face, and they're willing to put their, you know, 2 cents worth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But hell, it's bells. Of course it's been the recession since last year. Why is anybody surprised?
I know it.
And they're all moaning and groaning, and people aren't buying them. Well, with what?
That's
you
right.
Know? With what? Mm-hmm. And people are moving away from material stuff. And, you know, this recession may be one of those loving influences to help us move away from being material, too much into material aspects.
Stuff. I love, you know, George Carlin, his comedic session on stuff. Did you ever hear that?
No.
I don't know by heart, but you can go online and read it. It's hysterical. It's like you just go through life collecting more stuff and bringing the stuff with you. Like, you know, it's just, everything is stuff. It's a really hysterical gig.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful, you know, but it is. And I do say that people are actually, now, because people are acting like we were told to act, save money, build up your savings, don't squander your money. Now we're being told, for God's sake, go out and spend. Hello, you just spent how many years telling us we don't have enough savings?
Right.
We haven't been thrifty enough. We're being thrifty now, and all of a sudden it's not a good thing. You know, for whom is it not a good thing?
For the businesses.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, a friend of mine sent me a list that says about 15 companies that are closing up.
It's
very well-known companies.
Yeah.
Because of the economy. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you know.
Well, the thing is, I think we should spend some money, but on our local people, on our local businesses, because they are a part of our community.
Yeah.
But I don't say go overboard. I just say, you know, be careful. But, you know, spend with people with whom it counts, your neighbors, for example. Doing a neighborhood store, the local businesses, this is a good thing. They're not greedy. They're like you. They help make your community and so forth work.
That's right.
That's my political plug for today.
Yeah.
But I'm always...
Back on the intuitive stuff, I had, back in October, I had given a class on intuitive development at one of the colleges here. And it was really very magical. I introduced the students to intuition and how to use it. And the synergy that developed within that was, like I said, just magical. And so I had sent out a list of everyone's email, and we wound up having a reunion last month. It was
only
a month later, which was really great. And to see this core group of people, of mixed male and female, wanting to really pay attention to their intuition and learning and working with the wisdom, it is amazing that somehow it's really somehow I get the idea like a small movement has been developed just within them.
That's
you know, and as a matter of fact, they're meeting again next Saturday, and I'll be there too. But talking about the willingness of people to step into their own power and help each other and nurture, you know, and I think that little by little that's going to be much more.
Done, yes.
Done.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There is so much happening that it's almost incredible what is coming around. And, you know, we talked about dreams I've had, and some are personal. I think some are larger than just personal. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about those today. I can do that another time. But some of the other things that are coming around are just phenomenal, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us if we would seize the opportunity to enjoy what we have today at hand instead of worrying about what we might not get or what we want for the future, is to just say thank you and enjoy exactly today what we do have at hand today. And being grateful for what we have, the gratitude goes out, and it does bring in more to us. Because the more grateful you are, the more there are some things in your life for which to be grateful. And that seems to be a trend, too, because you attract more as you move on. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to enjoy life. And go ahead.
No, I just said yes. I was agreeing.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the things that I have found in my life is that I have woken up sometimes in the middle of the night just being grateful for all that I have and for where I am in life. And, you know, some people might say, well, you could have had it easier or better or whatever. But the thing is, for what I have and where I am grateful because there are so many other places I could be. And I would not be so grateful for
that's
the situations around me. In fact, I've been in bad situations. So the thought of working with people on a daily basis is also coming through for me. There's a hospital wanting me to do teaching and maybe do some work with self-hypnosis for pain management or teaching Jin-Shin Jitsu, which I think is in lecturing. And I think that's a wonderful first step to moving forward in learning alternatives and working with people more and more on a one-to-one basis so they can be self-empowered. I think there's just too much of this wanting to put your power into someone else's hands. I don't care if it is a physician's hands. We have to learn to take responsibility in part for our own healing. And we want to have to be healed. And we want to have to enjoy participating in the healing dance of the world, in being a part of life itself in healing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so many people, you know, just want to rely on a pill or something else or somebody doing something to them for the healing. It's really what happens is if you work together with another for healing purposes, you will find yourself healing. And you will find that you will get better. I just had a word of a death of a former employee that just saddened me so much. He was a physician assistant. He worked for me a number of years. And apparently he went to one of the hospitals here in D.C. and they had opened him up. And they said the cancer that he had, apparently he hadn't moved fast enough on getting to a doctor. But then this is a medical field, you know, and this is typical. We do have a tendency not to go to the doctor when we should, because we think we're, you know, we know better. But anyway, this poor man had was so riddled with cancer. What they said was basically they sewed him back up and told his wife, you know, to just go ahead and take him home. There's nothing they could do for him, and he'd die in a few weeks. Well, she got him home. She went in the house to get her daughter to help her bring him in from the house, and he died on the doorstep.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. This was not a good thing. This man should not have been released from the hospital since he was that close to death. But I'm fairly certain he was told he would be going very quickly, and he just opted to go out.
Right.
But the thing is, he should have had the opportunity to be taken care of better than that. And
yeah.
I am not happy about his treatment. He didn't deserve that. And he was a good health care person, too. So I am sorry to hear about the way people are treated at times. It's just not acceptable, and this needs to be changed. Compassion has to be a part of what we do in healing. So other than that...
Well, you know, when I was living in the nursing home convalescence center
right.
while I was recouping, I was amazed at how little staff there was for the amount of people in need.
Yes.
And the ratio, the
yes.
little ratio
yes.
is so minute compared to the needs. And
yes.
sometimes, you know, in a nursing home, if in above your door entering the room, there's a light. So you just press the light and it, and
right.
an aide should come in. Sometimes I would wait 20, 30 minutes for someone to
yes.
come in.
Yes.
You know,
they are short-staffed, I have to say.
Oh, my God. And they're burnt out.
Burnt out, yes.
They are really
yes.
burnt out. I know that while I had lived in a convalescent center for almost 9 months,
mm-hmm.
and they went through AIDS like you wouldn't believe. They're
yeah.
so underpaid,
yes.
and some of them were asked to work double and triple shifts.
You can't
and
do that.
And it was lifting people. You know, it really is a horrendous, horrendous type job also.
Yes.
So, not in defense of them, but just to indicate that the itself needs to be changed with regulations.
Yes. Well, they're not supposed to be understaffed. They're supposed to have enough for staff. Sometimes it's financial. You know, and Congress keeps cutting back on Medicare. You know that. They keep cutting back the reimbursement. So that makes it more difficult for
mm-hmm.
caregivers to be paid. And,
yes.
you know, yeah, there are abuses. Certainly there are abuses and people taking advantage of the system. I mean, wherever you have people, you're going to have, unfortunately, some schnooks who do this. But basically, what I've seen is not due to that. It's due to cutbacks in Medicaid and Medicare. And even one person suffering is not acceptable for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I know... that I used to staff nursing assistants. I paid them better than anybody else in the city, I want you to know. Well, I had them with me, and that's why they still call me after all these years asking if I'm going to get any more contracts. So I'm setting up a training course that's probably going to be trained and using alternative therapies as well as traditional for nursing assistants. And that's what we're
Great.
Working on now. And if it goes through, it'll be a phenomenal training. It'll be training that'll be eventually across the country. And the people will be trained more for than what they can do now. And they can also find confidence in themselves that they can maybe go on to do LPN or RN work or the
mm-hmm.
other kinds of medical work because those health care needs are growing rapidly.
Yes.
And it's an underserved area. Now, I know the nursing assistants, nursing shortage, RN nurses,
yeah.
was artificially carved starting in late 60s, early 70s, because of the desire to bring up the wages paid to nurses. Well, I agree with that. But to cut back on the three-year nursing schools and change the college courses so that the nurses do not get any hands-on work, basically, when they're going through training. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's mainly all work, all paperwork now. And the nurses who graduate now have to go on a 3-month or better orientation at a hospital that accepts them because they don't know how to do the floors. Some of them haven't even been taught how to give injections yet.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that happening in the 70s, and I was thinking, what were they thinking at that time, and trying to drive up the rates for nurses. And one nursing teacher I had, when they just had nursing as a, they didn't even have nurses who had PhDs at the time. I think MA in nursing was as close as they got at that time when I was at Georgetown, said they were doing this because they thought nurses should be paid as much as doctors. And I said, if we think that, why don't they just become doctors? I mean, why would you become a nurse if you want money that would be, it didn't make sense to me. In other words, why would you go through this and expect the same money? But, you know, that was long ago and in another year. And I doubt the lady is still even alive at this point. But it was artificially created so that the prices, the hourly rates for nurses would go up. And anybody who couldn't see ahead to have that, the long-term consequences of that, shouldn't be around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because once you start cutting back on training that is vital and you have a growing population, you know darn good and well somewhere there's going to be a crunch. And yeah, it's not going to be pretty. And why people couldn't see this would happen, I don't know. So, you know, it's not for me to go into anymore. But just being around long enough to know that and to recognize that when I saw it, it's interesting. But any rate, you were working on some stuff, talking about moving ahead and in your job. And how is that going? Did anything we talked about last time come true, become accurately true? Did we establish anything that did come true?
You know what? I don't recall.
It was really a while ago.
Yeah. I don't recall. But currently, let me see, I think I did your show in September. And my goal was, at the time, to get a part-time job to supplement as I'm working on my book. And so I wound up getting a part-time job. I love working in law. I'm a paralegal as well. And so I got a part-time job working there. I do readings, and then I do Andy's show twice a week.
Uh-huh.
And co-hosting, and so I'm really, really busy.
Wonderful.
And,
so then something did come through for you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, a lot of things. I don't recall exactly what you had told me. I'm sorry.
We didn't say there was going to be a quiz and notes.
Yeah. And
I'm still waiting for some stuff to come through, which I think
Is yeah, and I also... there was a man that I had dated before had the stroke episode.
Yeah.
And since I would say within the past, I think, 3-4 months, we reconnected.
Right.
And which is very nice. It's a really good friendship.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's blooming, is it? Is it blooming?
I don't know if you want to call it blooming, but it's strong. It's a very strong, I would say it's more like a universal directed connection, you know? And
okay.
It just feels very strong and connected, and I'm not going to put any verbs to it. It's just there.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, that's good. That's something that is important for you.
Yes, and I'm in my physical therapy. I'm up now doing a lot more walking. Before I was wheelchair bound for,
right.
I was bed bound for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm at a point where I have a walker that I can actually stand up and do some walking, working on my balance. And they really feel that they can make my focus full recovery, which
yes.
They thought I would never get out of bed. And
okay.
What happened?
I think somebody just beeped in.
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome to the higher dimension. Who's calling?
Rosemary, I've talked with you before, and you've been incredibly helpful.
Oh, good, Rosemary. What can we do for you today?
I've been working on my health and my stamina a great deal with all due prayer and diligence. How's my report card, and what can I do to improve it?
To improve your stamina?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to work on that first?
I didn't hear the full question.
Yeah.
Her voice is a little muffled. Can you repeat that?
Okay. I've been working on my health and my stamina with all due diligence,
And
with all due diligence. Okay, good law, okay. Law term.
And how can I improve it? How's my report card? And what more can I do to give me more stamina?
Okay, the first thing that I get is, do you take fish oil supplements?
Do I take what?
Fish oil supplements.
No, I do a lot of, I just take straight these in a capsule.
Okay, the reason why I say that is because with the fish oil, I would say I know that I take 4,000 units,
mm-hmm.
Without any adverse reaction.
Okay.
And yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, it was doctor recommended, to help me with my nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been taking the fish oil, I've noticed that it sort of like coats the nerves and it gives more stamina because I was, you know, bedbound and wheelchair bound, and this was recommended by my doctor. Plus, he had offered for me to take coenzyme Q10,
mm-hmm.
about 200 milligrams a day. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because I feel that those are the two nutrients that will help you specifically because I'm feeling the same type of tiredness,
mm-hmm.
from you. And it feels like there's, you think a lot, and so there's a lot of mental stress,
mm-hmm.
that you go through. And so I'm also feeling for you that you're not drinking enough water, purified water.
Okay, it's funny, I've got a whole quart that I just finished in the past 5 minutes.
Well, that was 5 minutes.
Okay.
How do you do during the week?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I need to try about a gallon a day would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gallon a day. Well,
a little bit more if you could.
I think a little more. I think your body, because of the foods and the type of diet you're on, it feels to me that the gallon is not enough.
Okay.
That you need more water in the food that you eat, because I'm feeling like very tight protein, very tight carbs, and not too much water within your foods.
Okay.
Is that true?
Lately, we've been switching to soups, and there's a lot of water with those.
Well, you want to be careful when you read the soups, because a lot of them have MSG in it, flavor enhancements, and that you don't want.
Oh, no. No, uh-huh. I wouldn't eat a store-bought soup on a bed.
Okay. Got to be very, very careful about those.
Yeah.
Because
my guidance said that you fix them in glass or crockery, and you
uh-huh.
never let them touch metal at all.
Right.
Uh-huh. And be careful with the salt, because salt imbalances the water intake as well.
I have been having an absolute craving for salty foods.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. what you can do is you can use cooked onions.
Okay.
And that provides salt.
Okay.
Salty taste. They cook onions. Also, they have iron in it.
Oh, good.
Okay. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And, Margaret, when we talked to you before, were we helpful to you?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
I mean, you know.
Well, we just check up. I always like to follow through and find out what is and isn't true, you know. I mean, it's just, I know it's anal retentive of me, but what can I tell you? I'm a Capricorn.
We uh-huh. all do this. No one can absolutely read that well for themselves. And when we see someone else, we have a duty, honor, and responsibility to get back to the person that assisted us and say, thank you, and yes, it worked.
Yeah, a lot of times I do, but then when things work, people tend to forget. Because it's just from their mind. They don't go back.
It's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember?
It's not like a sore, right, or tooth or something. It's not annoying him anymore. You're absolutely right. Well, I'm glad. my feeling is also, are you taking magnesium in your diet?
Yeah, I'm taking the oral chelation. It's really good stuff.
Uh-huh.
AM and PM.
Yeah, magnesium is good. Vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
And D. Okay?
Okay.
These are all good. And what I came through my mind was liquid
B12. Alpha. Liquid B12, okay.
That's really good for an energy boost when
okay.
when you need it. Vitamin B12 is excellent, especially in liquid form. You put it on your tongue and just let it go into your system off through osmosis.
Okay, sublingual then, okay.
Sublingual, yeah. Not hold it there for a little bit, and then just let it go through your body. Okay?
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Be going forward then, and I really want to thank you for the assistance, and
thank you.
I'll call you and let you know how I did after I've done it.
Well, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We'll have her on again, too. We'll have Annette on again, so we don't have to worry about that. She's a great person.
You have a great
thank
day.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, good. I'm so glad someone called in. Yeah, and sometimes you wonder if you're speaking to the world out there, you know what I mean?
I know. A lot of times people are just hanging out wanting to listen and think, you know,
they're
nurtured just by listening.
Yes, I've heard that. Some people say, you know, they like what they hear so much, they don't want to interrupt, and that's mm-hmm. kind of cute, except that, you know, I get curious.
Well, yeah, because you like feedback. Everybody does.
Oh, sure, sure. Anyway, I'm waiting for somebody to call me on feedback, and some guy said he would because I did hypnosis for him on smoking, and he promised to call me back, and he hasn't called back, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just don't know.
Yeah, well, no, sometimes people, they mean well
yes.
with their full intent at the time, and then
yes.
stuff gets into the way, and
stop.
They
We're
don't,
back.
It's yeah. it doesn't, it's not a priority anymore.
Yes, stop. That's famous stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff we take around with us. Anyway, so what do you think is, can you see anything coming in the near future for me? I'm just going to lay it out there. What do you see coming that you feel will happen, say, within the next... Oh, going to have called off on that. Good afternoon. Welcome
Hi.
To the Higher Dimension. Who's calling?
Hi, my name's Addie.
Annie?
Addie.
Addie.
The nickname. Yeah.
Okay, Addie. And you are from where, Addie?
From Illinois.
Well, welcome to the show. What can we do for you, darling?
Thank you. Can I ask questions on anything, or it sounds
yes.
like you're specific
okay.
to health?
Yeah, whatever you want to do, honey. We just, where spirit leads us, we go.
Okay. I was kind of curious. I'm kind of at a crossroads in my life, and I was kind of curious about anything in jobs or romance or traveling, moving. Pretty wide open.
That's a full plate. How about, let's focus on one thing at a time. What would you like first for me to tie into?
Anything about a new career.
Career, okay. I'm seeing you I see you going to school.
Okay.
I see you learning more. Are you in school right now?
No.
You just got out of school?
Oh,
no. You graduated?
Long time ago.
Okay.
All right. So I'm seeing you taking classes to further your education. It seems to me that you're very well established in the type of work you do. I'm not sure what exactly it is, but I'm seeing wanting to further your education. And that will bring you to, that will springboard you into, I think, even a different career. Let me ask you this, because I'm feeling like a blank slate. What kind of work do you already do?
Well, right now I'm just working at a museum, and it's a nice job, but it's not stimulating.
It's nowhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You know, the word, I'm just going to spit it out, the word that comes out of my mind is curator. Is that something, have you ever thought about?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Because I see that would be a really influential and successful career for you.
Hmm.
Working as a curator.
Hmm.
That's the word that comes up.
Okay.
Is that something you would consider?
You know, I guess I could consider anything. I didn't really plan on staying at the museum, so...
Okay, or at least this museum.
Excuse me?
At least the museum where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't planning on staying there.
Right.
Okay, but if another offer came in elsewhere...
Yeah, I suppose that would be possible.
Okay. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Because I feel that that line of work is your calling... Because it feels to me that there's a part of you that loves archaeology. and working within a museum of any sort redefines that for you, because you love that sense of history. There's a part of you, I feel, that one foot is in history and the one foot is here in the present, you know, and it's something that nurtures you. And that's what I'm feeling as far as career, that I really believe that. I don't think you need to go for a specific degree, but I think more education, specific courses designed for that type of career.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel, Phyllis?
You know, I'm trying to feel because my head is so filled up today with stuff. I'm not feeling so great. So I'm going to have to say I'm not getting much on that by way of field and new job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that it's not going to be anytime soon. Does that make sense to you? It's not going to be within the next, say, 6 months or a year.
Okay.
I don't see it soon. Does that make more sense?
Sure. I've been doing this for a little while because, you know, things happened that I ended up in this job, so I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to switch or what I'm going to do. And
well, the thing is, you might want to stay where you are for just a little while because things are going to change. You will start seeing a change in attitude, in personnel. My feeling is that there's a sea change all over the place, and you might want to just stay still until the economy calms down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing that I feel is important for you, is when the opportunity comes, it's going to be a little bit down the road and not right away, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to do it right now. Not absolutely necessary. Right?
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions that you might have?
I guess you're saying probably no moving either.
If you move, it's not going to be that far away. It's going to be just a rearranging of your residence.
Okay.
Maybe something that's more convenient for you.
Okay.
Rather than a true move to another part of the country, for example.
Okay.
That's what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But I just say, my gut feeling is say, honey, hunker down for a little bit. Just be like a turtle poking its head out of the shell, check it out every once in a while, and just wait, because the waiting is going to be your best gift to yourself.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Anything in the love life?
That's going to be in the future also. Okay.
Okay.
My feeling is that when you are ready to move on, that's when it's going to break open, and that's part of what's going to propel you into the new life.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, it all sounds probably good.
Good. Probably.
I just thought I would give a call. And...
Well, you're welcome. We always love to talk to the young people.
Okay. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much, my dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And nice to talk to people who are museum personnel. I think they're wonderful. Like, they are doing such a fabulous job. I just love things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love museums. I've been to them since I was a little girl. My parents used to take me, and it was just the joy of my life was going downtown to the national museums and art galleries.
I remember a number of years ago when I was living in New York, a friend of mine living in Long Island I was visiting, and she said, oh, there's this lady who is having an exhibit at some place in Long Island. Do you want to go? I said, sure, fine. So I go into this, it was a refurbished old house, and it was loaded with photographs. And here's this little old lady, you know, with a scarf wrapped around her head, a little hunched over, and she's walking around, and they were all black and white photographs. And I wasn't, to me personally, I thought that there was going to be like watercolors or oils or something, and I wasn't really moved by it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, fine. I just, you know, said hello to the lady, and I didn't talk to her, and I just walked in. People were like treating her like she was, you know, like a Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
And so a couple of months later, my friend and I had gone to another museum, and we had they were having an exhibit of Georgia O'Keeffe.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, how, boy, I really would love to meet her. So my friend said, you did it. Because they're at the other museum. I said, oh, my God, I'm going to throw myself at her feet. You know, like, oh, my God.
Embarrassment number one.
You know, it was, I didn't know that she was, a biography in photographs of her and her lover. I don't recall his name, but it was in honor of her boyfriend and her true love. And and then at that point she had moved to Arizona, I think it was, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like, talk about, you know, not paying attention. Oh God.
Oh well, that's all right, darling. You're forgiven.
Oh yeah.
Forgiven. I think. But
yeah, I forgave myself, but I thought to myself,
yes.
Annette, your ego was in the way. You know, it was
right.
Sort of like your note, you know, download thing.
That's okay.
Like Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, Lord. Well,
love her work.
Yes, I do, too. I love her work.
Yes.
And what they're worth now, my dear.
Oh, I know it.
At any rate, let's get back. Do you see anything coming for me that I should be aware of or you would know about? And I'll see if I can do something for you.
Let's see. So it feels like, I know we talked a little while ago, it basically feels that you're pretty much in status quo, just keep focused and moving forward, and opportunities will just, the doors will just open for you. It's sort of like, remember years ago I used to go to Coney Island, they had this thing called bumper cars.
Bumper cars.
Okay. And so that's the vision that I get. It's like you're in a bumper car and you're just driving around in circles, and sometimes you get backed by another car, but you just keep on moving forward. And that's what it feels like to me, that if you just keep focused, every time you get bumped off track, you'll be redirected to go on track because you're connected.
Okay.
So that's... the most specific I can get right now, because there's so many things in the air for you that are melding and manifesting for you that I think sometimes you do get focused and then you get distracted.
Uh-huh.
So you have to just step back on track. And,
that sounds good.
So that, because it feels more like process as opposed to something specifically happening.
Process. Being something taking time to get through.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. That'll
work.
That'll work. Okay. Now, for you, we have just a few moments left.
Okay.
I have a feeling your book's going to be a nice success. And it's not going to be that difficult for you to get everything done. I do see you making almost a whole complete recovery, quite frankly.
Thank you.
Yeah, the doctor is working on the miracle issue right now, and I think that over time it's going to come through for you, honey. Follow through if you can on the Jin Jitsu.
Yes, I bought a book.
You did. Great. And practice it on yourself, because it does work when you do it for yourself as well.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. And I cannot recommend it highly enough as something for you. But, you know, we'll talk in the near future, I feel. And I'd love to have you on in the first of the year and see what you can see for the coming year again.
Okay.
Once we get this through. Okay?
That sounds great.
Oh, absolutely. And meanwhile, I can hear my producer getting scratchy.
All right, it's time. Thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. I love you.
I love you, too. And I will be talking to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for... listening to Annette Castellano and I, and we will be on next week. I'm not sure who's going to be on next week, but the week after that, the 21st, it's going to be Maureen McGill, and it's going to be a wonderful show, and we would like you to listen in then. So all of you, thank you so much. God bless you, and Annette, I'll be talking to you very shortly. Okay?
Take care.
Bye-bye,
everybody.